Hey, Acts chapter 2, and we'll be there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 through 47. Acts 2, verse 42 through 47. And we've entitled the message, Developing True Thankfulness. Developing True Thankfulness. How can we develop true thankfulness? Acts chapter 2 in verse 42 through 47. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We just thank you for the excitement in the song service, Lord, and thank you for your music and a time that we can set aside to praise you, to worship you, the Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Father, to sing praises unto you, exalt you, to lift your name up on high, because you are Jesus, the Son of God. And Lord, that is who we are here to serve today. That is who we're here to worship today. That is who we're here to exalt today, the Lord. And I pray that that's what we come for, the Lord, is that spirit of thankfulness, thanking the Lord, thanking God for what you've done for us, the Lord, and giving your life to us, the Lord. And Father, as we open up your word, I pray, the Lord, that your word would go forward. God, that it would accomplish that which you have it to do today. That, Father, it will cut where it needs to cut. It would pierce where it needs to pierce. It would challenge us in our life where we need to challenge us. Father, that your word would convict us, the Lord, in our life of what we need convicting at. That, God, that we will be different individuals when we walk out of here today. That we'll be changed. We'll be renewed. We'll be revived. We'll be refreshed, the Lord. All because of the reading of your word, the Lord, and applying. Not only just hearing your word, Father, but apply your word. Be a doer of your word, the Lord, that we can carry out your work and your ministry and your will that you have us to do as you desire for us to do in our own personal lives and in the lives and the corporation, the body of believers of this church, the Lord. Father, may your word go forward. May you defeat the devil, bind him up, the Lord, and any opposition or any folks, the Lord, that are coming against your word today and against the message, the Lord, that if God, you get rid of them, the Lord. And Father, that the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God will have freedom to move and reign and rule in our hearts and in our lives. Father, may your word go forward. Father, we give the service to you. It's all about you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, entitled Developing True Thankfulness. And I thought about this through Thanksgiving season. And I thought about, you know, Acts chapter 2 and the early church and what they did to develop some excitement, develop an attitude and a gratitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness. And folks, as I said before, we're living in a society, we're living in a nation, in a country, in a city, in a county where across the world is an epidemic of people are not thankful no more. They don't show thankfulness. They're not thankful for the family that God gave them, not thankful for the spouses, not thankful for their children, not thankful for the churches they're involved in or anything like this. You can't hardly get a holy ground or a thankful person anymore when you walk up to them. You can hold the door open and let them come in before you to come in and eat at a restaurant or a grocery store. They just pass you on by. They don't say thank you. Don't say thank you. They just pass you on by. That's kind of society that we're living in today. But my friend, it doesn't have to be that in God's house. It doesn't have to be that in the children of God. It doesn't have to be that way in you and me and our lives. We have the ability to change that because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. And we need to learn to get back to living a life of purity, a life of holiness, and a life of righteousness. And my friend, when we get back to that point, I believe that we can develop a heart of true thankfulness. Develop a heart of thanksgiving, my friends, is where we need to be. And I believe today for that roadmap, Acts chapter 2 explains that and lays that out for you and me to look at. I pray that you'll join me in developing true thankfulness today. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 and following, he says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men. Every man had a need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. How many did that today? Jamer said that they went 4 days in a row breaking bread from house to house. Amen. Did you join him from one house to another house? If your families are close by for Thanksgiving, breaking bread, fellowship, and going from one place to another. I know I gained 5 pounds. I told my wife that I needed a bigger suit, or they needed to invent one that has three sizes in them. And so that I don't, yeah, exactly, stretching and elastic, you know, so take that and invent one. I'll gladly buy it from you. And it said, so, you know, so we can do that. It said, and they continued in verse 46, daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord, what? Added to the church daily such as that should be saved. When I thought about this, and I thought about Thanksgiving, as I said, I thought about developing true thankfulness. What are we thankful for? You know, James says, for what of our life is but a vapor, appear for a little while and vanish away. Life is too short, my friend, to live a grumpy life. Life is too short to live, you know, in sadness. Life is too short not to be excited about what God is doing, not to be thankful about His creation, not to be thankful for the family and the things that He gives you, and the church family that He gives you, which is an amazing body of Christ here. Life is too short to run around grumbling and griping and complaining all the time. It does no good, and it don't do you no good, and it don't do me no good, and nobody else no good, because I don't want to hear you no more. Amen. Don't want to hear you. It's just going in one ear and out the other ear. You know, one thing about Facebook, I'm able to tell where all y'all at every week. You know, every week y'all put on there, especially on Sundays. Y'all are not put where you're at on Sundays. You're supposed to be set aside, and it's supposed to be time to serve in God. You know, and set aside and being in God's house instead of missing 2 or 3 weeks out of time and then taking your tithes and going and taking care of your business out there. Say, whoa, preacher. Y'all got awful quiet right there. You know, amen. True thankfulness. Amen. God's business still's got to carry on. Developing a house, developing a time of thanksgiving. And I looked up the word in the first church. What I understood in the early churches, they were devoted. They were devoted to serving God. They were devoted to listening to the Word of God. They were devoted to hearing the Word of God. They were devoted to applying the Word of God. They were devoted to attending the Word of God and attending to God's house and going from house to house, breaking bread and fellowshipping, and God was blessing and adding to the church daily. They were devoted. My friends, that's the reason I feel that churches across America today are failing and suffering, and the doors are shutting, because we have the people that call ourselves Christians are no longer devoted to the things of God. No longer devoted to the things of God. We're devoted to our own agendas. We're devoted to how our opinions are and what we should do and how we should think things should run. We need to get out of that and be devoted to Jesus. Amen. And get our focus and our eyes on Him, and we'll be all better off. Because guess what? I've said it 100 times. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when we get our eyes on Him, we'll be okay. We'll be better off when we get our focus on Him and our eyes on Him. Because guess what? That's what we're here to do anyhow, is to serve Him. To serve Him, to put Him first, and to do what God has intended for us to do. To get our eyes on Him. So the early church was devoted. They developed a true thankfulness. And we see that Webster's Dictionary, when you look up devoted, it means to vow. It means to set apart. It means to dedicate. It means to be loyal and to be faithful. As the children of God, shouldn't that be what we desire to be? As the children of God, shouldn't that be what we desire to be? Shouldn't that be how God intends for us to live, is a life that is devoted, a life that is set apart, a life that we vow to serve the Lord and Him alone, to dedicate our lives to Him, to be loyal to Him and be faithful to Him. That was the early church, my friends. And if the church today got back to that kind of living, whoa, we wouldn't have no problem today. We wouldn't have no problem in our lives today. This country wouldn't have no problems, my friend, electing a godly official to run, whether it's in the city or the county or the state or Washington. We wouldn't have a problem choosing one that was a godly man to put there. If we get back to the basics and the foundations of what this world was founded on, and it was Judea, word and ethical principles of God's holy word. And we need to get back to that kind of living. Back to that. We can be thankful. I can think to learn how to develop true thankfulness. We can learn that from God's word and from Acts 2. As we read, the disciples were active in their faith, and many miracles were happening. In verse 42, it says, they continued steadfastly. They were devoted. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking bread, and in prayers. We can learn four things that are necessary in developing a true thankfulness and true thankful heart. If you're taking notes, number one, developing true thankfulness. Number one, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was that? They were devoted to the word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the word of God. They had a time where they were in God's word. They had a time where they were spending in God's word, reading God's word. My friends, I want to challenge you and me today that we need to get in God's word. We need to read God's word. We need to be challenged if we're going to have a heart and develop a heart of true thankfulness, my friends. It comes from being a part of God's word, getting in there and reading it. They developed it. A word of God requires us to make a decision. Brother Robert said not too long ago in one of his messages that he was bringing that when you hear the word of God, it challenges you to make a decision. You've got to decision to make. Are you going to have a heart of true thankfulness? My friend, are you going to get on board with what God's doing here? Because the train has already left the station. You got to get on board if you're going to go and be a part of what God is doing. You got to develop that in your life. They were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching in the word of God. The word of God requires us to make a decision. In James 1, in James 1 and verse 22 through 25, it says this, but be ye what? Doers. It requires for you and me to do something. The word of God requires a decision. The word of God requires an action on your part and my part. He said, but be ye what? Doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. Brother Asa said at the Thanksgiving family thing we had, I can preach until I'm blue in the face and run out of breath, but are you hearing what the word of God says? Are you hearing what God's word says? Are you applying it to the word of God? You ain't got to worry about it being God's word because it's plastered up there on the screen for you to read, and it's in your Bible if you open it up. It's the word of God, amen? You ain't got to worry about it. And then if you want to hear it again, Mark puts it on the internet so you can hear the message again. Oh, it's the word of God. It's amazing what people say. Well, you didn't preach the word of God. They'd be in my office. I said, really? It's on the computer. Let me turn it on and let you listen to it. Maybe you need to hear it for the second time. Amen? Amen. It's the word of God. Let's read it. Let's listen to it. Let's be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the word of God. It comes from the word. He said, but be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're doing that, what does it say you're doing? Deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. For if any be what? A hearer of the word and not a what? Doer. He is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth who? Himself. And what? Goeth who? His way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is, or he was. My friend, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he be not a what? Forgetful hearer. So God understands me why half of y'all forget the message every week, because it's about yourself. That scripture right there, Pastor Tim didn't preach the word. But what my word? What did it say? It says he being a forgetful hearer. What did it say prior to that? Because he thinks of who? Himself. He thinks of himself. He looks to his own self. And but he forget and be a forgetful hearer. And goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continue therein, and be not a what? Forgetful hearer, but what? A doer of the work. This man shall be blessed indeed. The word of God requires us to open our heart. My friend, if we want God to bless us, and we want to be a doer of God's word, and doer what God tells us to do, then you and I have to open up our hearts. Open up our hearts and receive the word. Open up our hearts and receive the message. Open up our hearts and apply what the word of God is telling us. The word of God requires us to open up our hearts. He tells us that in Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man what? What'd you say?
Hear my
Hear whose voice? Who's my? The Lord's voice, the Word of God. If any man hears the Word of God, if he hears my voice, hears the Word of God. He said, and will what? Open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You got to open the door. You got to let God come in. He requires us to open our hearts. Hebrews 4, 12 through 13 says this. Says, for the Word of God is what? It's quick. He's a doer. His word is powerful. His word has action. His word is doing something. God's word is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing, even dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what's in your heart. God knows what's behind your heart. And understand, what's behind your heart comes out your mouth.
That's right.
Amen. And some of us need to get our mouth under control. Amen. Because I've told you before, I've drew the line in the sand a long time ago and I ain't putting up with your mouth. Amen, old me. Y'all got quiet here. Oh, when it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it doesn't line up in the house of God. Amen. Oh, we got to be careful with what we do and what we say. Our words are damaging, and we need to be careful in what we say because God, as I said, is a discerner of the intents and the thoughts of our heart. And then verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes in whom we have to do. You can't run and hide long enough. God will find you out. He will seek you out, and he will get you. Amen. And I'm praying that he will get you. Amen. That we get right with God, that we get right with him, and we bring everything before him and before the throne of God. Not only that, but the Word of God requires us to grow in the Word. It requires you and me to grow. He tells us in Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, he says this, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you had a need that one teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracles of God, and are be such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He tells us in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, he says, wherefore laying aside all what? Malice and all what? Guile and all hypocrisy and all envies and all what? Evil speaking. We need to apply the Word of God. You see the Word of God up there. As Christian men and women, we should what? Put away and lay aside all malice, guile, hypocrisy, envies, and evil speakings. I told y'all before, y'all vade on me so much that it ought not taste good to you anymore. You know, when you got a bite of me, it ought to be bitter in your mouth. I pray that it will be. Amen. I tell y'all before, I used to be 6'5" until I came here. Now I'm 5'4" and steady shrinking. Oh, listen, it's the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God. We need to heed to the Word of God. Say, I'm here in the Word of God today. I'm here in the Word of God today. I'm going to apply the Word of God today. I'm going to apply the Word of God today. If you don't, I'm going to spank your honeys. All right. Y'all with me? It says, you with me? Go back with me. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and envies and evil speaking as new babes, desiring to the milk of the word, that ye may what? Grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, get in his word. You will see to it. It will be gracious to your spirit. It will do your heart some good. Get in his word and read it and apply it that you can grow thereby. God is good. Taste and see that the Lord is gracious. But you got to taste it, not taste me. Taste the word. Taste the word. Are y'all sleeping today? Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all hearing God's word today? Amen. Are you going to apply it? Amen. So when somebody comes up there and says, that Jamer sure can't lead no music, what are y'all going to say? Don't hand that mess to me. He does a great job. Amen. When it comes to that Robert Bredo, whoo, he laying the smack down on these kids, making them respect and causing them to have reverence in God's house. And they come out and say, I just don't like all that punishment. I just don't like, no, hey, we need structure. We need guidance. Oh, listen to me. Oh, Brother James, he come to me. Thank the Lord for people to come to you ask about tithing. Amen. Brother James said, give me some scripture. I want to know how to tithe better. I want to know what I can do for the Lord. Did you come to me and ask me that? Amen. Would all y'all say I'd like to know how to tithe and tithe better for the Lord? I can give you some scripture. Amen.
Right here.
Well, it's right here. I printed him out the notes. I can make you a copy of them too. He come to me and said, print them out. I printed him out. I said, 500 and some more can go with it. He said, give me a little bit at a time. Can't handle all 500. Oh, but we need to know what God's word says, and we need to apply it in here. And somebody says, that old Lee, he's sorry, rascal. He went fishing, didn't even invite me the other day. I'm telling you what, man. He tore him up, but didn't even ask the pastor to go around. Man, he's not Miss Gloria. He's sorry, rascal. I'm just telling you. Miss Gloria says, that didn't work. Sandy, he's a sorry rascal. Says, oh, I don't want to hear that. No, I don't want to hear that stuff. And I'm thankful that if you as leaders and church members will keep your nose to yourself and your lips close shut and only talk about things of love and peace and happiness. Where's Mike at? Where's Mike at? There's Mike. I went and spent some of my time with Mike. I'm going to let him preach one day. He had a good thing that him and I was talking about. Get it prepared, Mike. Get ready. And we were talking about, you know, what do we come to church for? What do we serve God for? What are we here in God's house for? To love one another, to get in His Word, you know, to give to support the ministry and things of that nature. And Mike and I, we were having a preaching time up at Brother Kent and Miss Tony's shop up at St. John's Auto Body, so the workers were coming in and out, and we're about to have a shouting fit in there. But that's what we're here to do, serve, love, encourage, build up. My friends, not tear down. Your words are doing one or two things. They're either building up the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, or they're tearing down the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. And there's no room for that in God's house. That's exactly what Mike said. There's no room for that in God's house. There's no room for that in God's house. That's foolishness. If you know somebody's doing it, tell them to stop. You know, you might even heard somebody say, oh, let's starve the pastor out of there. We just ain't going to tithe no more. We just ain't going to tithe no more. We're going to starve the pastor out of here. Well, guess what? Greater is He that's in me than He that's of the world. And there is a few godly people here that don't mind digging a little deeper in their pocket to make sure the ministry going to go on here. Amen. Amen. So get on board, because the train is leaving. Amen. Get on board. Oh, listen, I'm just bold enough in God's word to tell you the truth. Either apply it or get mad. Amen. And if you get mad, it ain't going to work in this fellowship, because you're going to feel very uncomfortable and uneasy. Amen? Oh, why? Because we love one another, and we want to grow in God's Word. And then not only that, but they devoted themselves to fellowship. Number two, they devoted themselves to fellowship. That means to church. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. But what? What does that mean? Lifting up, building one another, exhorting one another. The world does a good enough job tearing you and me down through the week. Does a good enough job tearing us down. Amen. Have you been tore down in the world? Have you been tore down out there? Oh, they do a good enough job out there. We should come in here for a refueling station. Building up one another, encouraging one another, exhorting one another, not forsaking yourself, the assembly of yourselves together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more that you see the day approaching. To each other, we should be devoted to having fellowship to each other. In 2 Corinthians 6:14-16, it says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? It says, for ye are the what? Temple of who? The living God. As God hath said, I will dwell where? In them. And walk where? In them. And I will be what? Their God. And they shall be my people. Where does God dwell? In you, in me, we are the temple of God. This is a building we come to worship in. And too many times, we put our emphasis on the building. It's not about the building. It's about a personal relationship with God. It's about God in our heart. We house the Lord in our bodies. We house the Lord in our temples. It's about Him. You are the temple of the living God. Thou art to make a babbler shout, amen.
Amen.
You are the temple. I want to encourage you. You are the temple of God. You are God's chosen people. You are what God made you. You are fearfully, wonderfully made in the eyes of the Lord. God don't make no junk. Start out living like it. Start living like it. Claim what God wants to do in your life and in my life. Not only that, but they were devoted to the fellowship. They were devoted to church. They were devoted to each other in the early church. And they were devoted to God. In Psalm 42:4 it says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude. I went with them where? To the house of God. With what? The voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the holy day. I was with Mike, and Mike, that verse came to me when I left you, Bubba, when we started talking. It's amazing how we go to the house of God. We should go to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise with the multitude to keep the holy day, to be excited that we're here to worship one another, that it's the house of God that we come to, that we sing praises unto Him. We have joy in our heart. And if we don't, when we leave this place, it's our desire that we be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God to enjoy what it is that He would have us to do. Amen. To enjoy being in the fellowship of the house of God. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day. Oh, not only was these people devoted to God, we see in Deuteronomy 10:12-13, it says how we can be that like the early church, how we can be devoted to God. It said, and now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? That's what I want you to ask today. What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you and me? There are things that He requires of us. And now Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God. That's a reverent fear for Him. That's a respect for God, to be reverently fearing the Lord, knowing what God can do in your life, in my life. Oh, but fear the Lord thy God, and to what? Walk in what? Part of His ways? Walk in what? All His ways. And to what? To what? To hate Him? To blaspheme Him? To become a mockery of His name? To be a mockery of one another, to down one another, to spit on one another, to discourage one another, to come against your brothers and sisters in Christ. What does it say? To what? To love God, to love Him, to love God. Then to what? To serve the Lord. Are you serving Him today? He's requiring that of you and me, to serve the Lord thy God with part of thy heart. Well, just some of you caught that. With part of your heart, with all your heart, and with part of your soul, with all that soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. The early church had a grasp on that. The early church grasped that. They were sold out for Jesus. They loved the Lord. They loved God. They were steadfastly breaking bread with Him. They gave their heart and their soul, their mind and their body to the Lord for God to use them for His honor and glory. Folks, it's time we get sold out for Jesus. Amen. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Him. That's the reason we're still here, is to carry out the gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus saves. That's what we're here for. Are we ready to carry out that good news? Are we ready to serve Him? Listen, I want to encourage you. This is the day to get revived, to get renewed, to get refreshed, to get on fire, that we're going to serve the Lord, because the train has left the station. You need to get on board, my friend, before you get left behind. Oh, God's got great and mighty things in store for this church, and it's time we move forward. Listen, God gave me this church. God sent me here, brought me here, and I ain't going nowhere. You got me. You got me. Amen. It's time to get on board, my friends. And if you can't get on board with what's going on here, then Brother Brad, open the door. Open it. Open the other one out there. Go out the front, Brother Brad. Open both of them. If you can't get on board with what the Lord's doing, I reserve the right, like the Prime Minister of Australia did. There's the door. Get out. Yeah. Amen. Brother Brad opened it, so it's an easy way. Oh, listen, you might say, that's harsh. I'm tired of the hogwash, and I ain't putting up with it no more. Get on board, because the train is leaving the station. Amen? Amen. Get on board. Oh, listen to me. It's time, my friends, we get a grasp and a grip of what the early church had, and you will see the dynamics change in your heart, my heart, and the heart and life of this church. Because there is no foolishness, as Brother Mike and I was talking about at Brother Kent's shop. There is no time for foolishness in God's house. It is a time to come and serve the Lord, worship God in spirit and in truth, exalt the Savior, exalt one another, lift one another up on high. And if we can't do that, you in the wrong ministry. You at the wrong place. You at the wrong place. Because I got enough brothers and sisters that's backing me that want to be here. Amen. That want to be here, that want to see God's ministry go forward. And it will go forward with or without you. It will go forward because it's all about Jesus. It's not about one another, my friend. It's about Jesus. And everything we do here should honor and glorify the Lord. Isaac said, I love to be here. I like to see Brother Tim sweat and lose all kind of 5 pounds in one Sunday morning. I need to lose it, Brother Isaac, after all that turkey I ate. Oh, but listen, why? We should love one another, encourage one another, build one another up, exalt one another. For crying out loud, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's act like it. Let's act like Christ. Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. Act like it. Christ-like. And it exemplifies the Savior. It exalt the brother. It'll lift one another up. Oh, listen to me. He said in Deuteronomy again, in 10, 12 through 13, and now Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee? Fear the Lord thy God. Walk in his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. My friend, if we did that, we grasp a hold of that like the early church did, we will be busting out the seams come next week. Oh, listen to me. We need to grasp it. Number three, developing true thankfulness. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That means they were sharing what they had. They were sharing what they had. A holy communion in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17 says this, the cup of blessings which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion of the body of Christ. For we being what? Many are what? One bread and what? One body. For we are all partakers of that what? One bread. We're all a part of the body of Christ. One bread, one body, one cup. It's all about God sharing what they had to give. In 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 15, it says this, being enriched in everything to our what? Bountifulness, which causes through us what? Thanksgiving to God. We just celebrated what? Thanksgiving. We need to learn to develop a true thankfulness for God. For the administration of what? For the administration of what? This service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but the abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It's applying not only to the service where the apostles were, not only to Jesus, not only to them assembling together, but also to this service. God's going to supply what this service and this church has need of. Whether you get on board or not, God's going to supply it. But I encourage you, get on board. The train is leaving the station. Get on board. Get on board with what God wants you to do. My friends, if you get on board with that, you will have nothing but abundant thanksgiving coming from God to your life, to the life of the church. When we become obedient to be all that God desires us to be, my friend, he will pour out blessings on you that you can't even imagine. As Brother James was talking to me this past week about the offerings and tithes, he said, Brother Tim, with all the members in this church, we are to be having tithes coming out our ears. Is that what you said, Brother James? He said, with all the members here, we ought to have enough money that we can support missions around the world and do what God has us to do in this ministry. I said, yes, Brother James, you're right. But we all got to sacrifice and give to make it happen. We all got to do that. And God requires that of you and me. And if we do that, you will have the abundance. Listen, we will supply your want. The saints will be taken care of. But the abundant also may be thanksgiving unto God that you will have so much. Malachi says, give unto me and see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you that you can't even bestow them all. Oh, listen, the early church grasped that. The early church grasped that. They had an ideal of that, and they grasped it, and they knew that. It says that this administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant and also with many thanksgiving. Verse 13 says, while by the experiment of what? This ministration, they what? Glorify God. This church, we desire to what? Bring God the honor and glory, to glorify God. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about the Lord. And what can we do for him? What can we do for his service? This ministration, glorify God for your professed subjection unto the what? The gospel of Christ. And for your liberal distribution unto them, unto all men. That means give liberally, my friend, of your time, your talent, your treasures, my friend, and their prayer. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Get on board. I encourage you. Get on board with what God is doing here. He's doing great and mighty things. In October, church, I don't know that you understand this, but God added 32 people to this church in October, and already around nine in November. God is on the move. But I tell you all the time, the devil can't stand it. We got to be prayed up, studied up, put the full armor of God on, have the shield of faith up, and the helmet of salvation so we can withstand against the fiery darts of the devil. And there's only one way he can come in here, as if you and I allow him to come in here. Brad, get up and shut the doors again. There's only one way that he can come in here, my friends, is if we allow him to come through them doors. But you and me as children of God at Crossroad Community Church is shutting the door on the devil and his opposition because they're not welcome or allowed in this place no more. Amen. The door is shut. The door is shut. We're going to do things God's way. It's not about my way. It's not about your way. It's God's way and the way God intends us to do. And if we lead the devil out and kick him out, Brad done shut the door and there's no way for him to get in. Amen. Amen. We got to band together and become a team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. Together, everyone accomplishes ministry. And that's what God wants, us to work together. My friends, and guess what? It not only works in the church house arena, but it works in your spouses. It'll work in your children. It'll work on your jobs. It'll work anywhere you take it. When you want to work together, God is honored and glorified, and that'll work anywhere you go. Anywhere you go. But guess where it should start at? Right here. And then you and I are to apply it out there. And when we do, God will be honored and God will be glorified. And he will get it all. Last thing, number three. Not only did the early church develop true thankfulness, they devoted themselves to time and prayer. Not only did they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and the word of God, they devoted themselves to the fellowship of the church. They devoted themselves into breaking bread and sharing what they had with one another. And lastly, they devoted themselves to a time of prayer, a time with God. I'm telling you, prayer changes things. If you want to see and change the dynamics in your life, my life, and the life of this church, then get serious about God in prayer and watch what happens. They devoted themselves to a time of prayer for intercession. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4 says this, I exalt therefore that first of all, supplications and what? Prayers and what? Intercessions and what? Giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a what? Quiet and what? Peaceful life in all what? Godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. My friends, he says that we're to live, that we're to pray. We had supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving thanks be made to all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we live a what? Peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. My friends, a peaceful life. Loving one another, encouraging one another, uplifting one another, exalting one another, not tearing down one another, not gossiping one another, not going to starve the pastor out of church, not going to withhold the tithes. That stuff ain't what it says pleases and honor to God. It says that what pleases and honor to God is that we have a supplication, we pray, have intercession, we give thanksgiving and be made to all men, that we lead a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Not only that, my friend, they devoted themselves in the time of prayer for healing for physical and spiritual needs. I am so thankful for what God has done in this arena, in this church. It's unbelievable at the healing that takes place. It tells us in James 5 and verse 15 and 16, it says this, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. And what? Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The affectional, fervent what? Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. My friends, listen, it's about prayer. Praying for one another, loving for one another, exhorting one another. The early church knew this, my friend, and they experienced growth beyond belief like we're doing here today. For evangelism, Colossians 4, they devoted themselves to telling people and praying. In the Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it says what? Continue where? In prayer. And do what? Watch with the same what? Thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch with the same thanksgiving. With all what? Praying also for us, that God would open the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk what? In wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with what? Grace, seasoned with what? Salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. My friend, the early church had it going on. Can I tell you something? Crossroad got it going on. Crossroad got it going on. And we want to keep it going on. And we want to encourage one another, love one another, lift one another up, pray for one another, give to God's ministry. We want to do all this. And if we do this, you will continue to see what he's doing, God adding to the church. You will see probably more than 32. God, thank God, God added 32 in October. You will see that continuously added in November and December. God will add every day. When I thought about that, I thought about the early church in Acts. And I thought about how God added to the church on a daily basis. He more than added to the church in October on a daily basis. That's amazing. And God's doing the same thing in November. But my friend, we got to be straight, prayed up. We got to be studied up. We got to be on fire for God. We got to have the grist and the grass on early, like the early church did, and develop a true heart of thankfulness. Be devoted to reading God's word and to the word of God. Be devoted to the fellowship of the church. Be devoted to breaking bread and sharing with what they have with others. And be devoted to a time of prayer. And we do that and God will bless. They were devoted to teaching, fellowship, sharing, and praying. And my friend, their vital growth of Christianity from the first church was because of these things. And my friends, can I tell you something? They are still relevant and necessary for today. They're still relevant and necessary for today. It is time that we start doing business God's way. In your life, my life, and the life of this church. My friends, it's time we get devoted to the things of God. It's time we grasp like the early church did. They knew how to grow a church. They grasped it. They caught on to it. They had a vision. You walk on the bottom, I walk on top. They had a vision. I stepped on his toes. Maybe the word stepped on his heart. You just happened to be in the wrong place for me to pick on you today. Oh, listen. You know, it's a heart thing. It's a heart condition, what we have. Folks, if our heart was in tune and right with the Lord, we wouldn't come up with some of the foolishness we come up with. And we wouldn't talk some of the foolishness that we talk. We wouldn't slander like we slander. We wouldn't come against brothers and sisters in Christ like we come against them. We wouldn't come against pastors all across the world and me here today like we come against them if our heart was in tune with the Lord. We wouldn't beat our brothers and sisters down. We would extend a hand, lift them up, and encourage them. But my friends, if we did that, we could grasp what the early church did. We can grasp what the early church did. And relationships will be restored. My friends, our heart will be in tune with the Lord. And that's what God wants here today. Amen. Our hearts in tune with Him. If our hearts are in tune with God, my friend, it will be a peaceful, quiet life. Amen. It will be a life of love and joy and happiness and peace. But my friend, it's a heart condition. Because He says, for out of the heart, evil things come. Envies, railings, and cursings. And things of that nature. The problem of America today is a heart condition. The problem of churches today is a heart condition. We get our heart in tune with the Lord, everything will fall into place. My friend, and we will truly realize then, when our heart's in tune with Him, that it's not about us. It's not about my agenda or anybody else's agenda. It's about, what does God want me to do? Amen. What does God want me to do individually? What does God want me to do spiritually? What does God want me to do in my life? What does God want me to do as a husband? What does God want me to do as a father? What does God want me to do as a mother? What does God want me to do as a wife? What does God want me to do as children? What does God want me to do? My friend, when we get our heart in tune with Him, watch out what God can do. Maybe you're here and you don't have your heart in tune with Him. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come in your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you don't know what it is about the early church and the excitement and everything they had. I invite you to come. We got men and women that'll be willing to share with you in the Scripture today what you must do to be saved. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Will you come today? Maybe you're here and looking for a church home. Maybe I just scared you to death this morning. But my friends, you can understand one thing. I'm going to preach God's Word and I ain't backing up from it. I'm going to preach God's Word and I ain't backing up from it. And I'm not going to let any one individual ruin what God is doing here at this church. I ain't going to let one bad apple ruin the rest that are in the apples. Amen? Amen? And one bad can do it. But my friends, listen to me. Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. This church would love to be a home. I'd love to be a pastor. Maybe you're here and you need to pray about something in your heart today. You need to pray about something that you've been doing that you know that's wrong. My friends, this is what this time is for. Get renewed, refreshed, and revived today and on fire for God, because we got a big work to do here. And it takes together, everyone accomplishes ministry. Together, everyone accomplishes more. And I need you on the ministry team and on the ministry train, because it's done headed out of the station. Get on board, man. We're going to places and newer heights and newer levels for the glory and honor of God.